month do you think of when I say certain words? Okay, so what month do you think of? And I want you to say it out loud. Call it out to me. Christmas. New Year's. Independence Day. Reformation Day. Somebody said October before I even got it out. I even finished the word. Who was that? Miko? Was that you? Okay. Awesome. Valentine's Day. Thanksgiving. Really? November? Oh. You know, look at the list. Did you notice something about the list there? All of them are events, except the last one. Thanksgiving is not an event on the calendar. It is in the sense that we have Thanksgiving emphasis in November, thankfully because of the history of our country. But Thanksgiving is not an event, but an action. It is a habit. It's a lifestyle. And I kind of tricked you, of course. But really, we need to think about Thanksgiving regularly and not think of that word as just an event. And I say this every Thanksgiving time in November. I say we shouldn't just think about Thanksgiving. But so now it's almost February, and we're talking about Thanksgiving. And we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving in March and May and the middle of the summer and everything else. So tonight I was thinking about what I wanted to share, not knowing how much time I would have because of the question and answer. And by the way, for those of you who are not new, that are new among us, and you say, wow, there wasn't a lot of questions. You know what? Here's how I interpret that. I interpret that as trust. And it's something we do not take lightly as the elders. Now, if you had filled the whole time with questions, I would have labeled that interest. But either way, it's trust and interest. And we appreciate your trust. And that's why we try to always be so careful to answer your questions. So tonight, I was kind of going down the path from Isaiah 43, but I changed my mind because I am so truly grateful for what God has done this last year. It's been a hard year, but there's so much good. Now, we've said 2020 was a good year because the promise of Romans 8:28 is always true. God causes all things to work together for good. And so, you know, we've tried to reiterate that and share that. But as I was thinking about the financial side, you know, I was grateful for that, obviously, that even though we didn't give the actual amount that we budgeted, we gave what we needed, and there's even some left over. And people actually, if you look at the first few months, especially of the pandemic, our giving actually went up. It went up. Hello? Compared to what it was. That's amazing. So you know how sometimes a phrase or a concept can be familiar, but it really comes out at a particular time, and that's kind of how I think of Thanksgiving. Actually, this happened 2 weeks ago when I was preaching from Philippians 4, 4 through 7 on Sunday morning. I had preached it before, obviously, with the same points. The points come right out of the text. And the title of that message was How to Have Peace Amid Social and Political Meltdown. And it was from Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Verse 6, though, says this: Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I, of course, brought out amongst each one of those points that are come right out of the text, the idea that all of this should be done with thanksgiving. We can't leave that part out. It's not about just asking and freedom to give your supplications, your requests. It's not just praying for something, but it comes with thanksgiving. And since I preached that message, for some reason, in all the years that I've preached that sermon and that message, that thought with Thanksgiving has been more in my face. And I've tried, under the leadership, I believe, of the Lord, to be more deliberate, that in my asking that I would be more consistent with my Thanksgiving. I've tried to do that privately. I've tried to do that publicly. And it's just really helped me. And I've always, I hope, expressed thanksgiving. I know you would probably say that too. But for some reason, this time, that phrase just came out at me stronger than it ever has before. And I've personally wanted to be more consistent with the command. And it's stated, you know, in the text. And it's stated almost, it's seemingly parenthetically. You know, let your requests may be made known to God. Supplication with thanksgiving. And you almost could read it like, oh, of course, and with thanksgiving. But I don't think that's what Paul meant when he wrote it down. I don't think he meant it parenthetically. It was not an afterthought. The image that came to me is that thanksgiving is far more essential to our praying than just some parenthetical thought. In fact, the thought that came to me, it's like the lubrication to the machinery, if you will, of our spiritual life. It's like oil, lubrication. It's what makes prayer work, thanksgiving. It's what lets things be productive. And that's why it should always be a part of our praying as we think about the things that we bring to God. My dad used to own a machine shop when he had his own business. It was a prototype machine shop, meaning he would engineer the things. It wasn't just like... he actually designed the things that had to be made, and then he had all these cool machines, and I remember as a little kid going and helping him. He let me help me. I didn't really help, but I thought I was helping. Anyway, there were some really neat machines in there. There was a lathe. I don't know if you know what a lathe is. It turns a piece of metal, in this case metal. He was a metal machine shop, and I think I had a zoom in on that. You can see where it spins, and then a cutting element goes in there and tools this piece of metal from just a tube or a rod, and it actually makes something out of it. One of the cool things he made was shark guns. We call them bang sticks. You know, you put a shell in there, and if shark got too close to you, you could take care of it. And it's a protection thing. Anyway, he had a bandsaw, which allowed another angle on cutting and forming of a shape from a flat piece of metal, and it would, you know, you could cut through something like butter. It was amazing. He had a drill press, of course, piercing a hole in a piece of metal. But all these cool machines that Dad had in his shop, they all had something in common with in their operation. And at their, what I'm talking about is actually in the picture. Do you see what is common to all three machines? What do you notice? Lubrication. That stream of it's kind of emulsified oil with water for cooling and for lubrication. You couldn't do those things without the lubrication, because the machine would eventually just burn up, or it would burn up whatever it was cutting. The blade would go dull from the heat, and you had to have this in there to actually get the job done. And in some cases, the oil was not used sparingly. It was like pouring in there, splattering all over the place, because it just required a lot of lubrication, because without the oil, things would just, as I said, be destroyed. And I think Thanksgiving is like that. Thanksgiving is the oil. It is the lubrication of our spiritual disciplines. Without it, things just don't work. Prayers are just asking for stuff. Even worship can become hollow and repetitive without thanksgiving. And we wonder sometimes why our prayers don't seem genuine or fruitful or like they are going anywhere. It may be because we pray, but we don't lubricate our prayers regularly with thanksgiving. In fact, thanksgiving is something that lubricates all kinds of spiritual activity in communication. So I pulled up each place where the New American Standard, at least, English version of the Bible, has the words with thanksgiving. So like Philippians 4:6, that we are to let our requests be known to God in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Where else does it say with thanksgiving? Let me give you some of these and show you how thanksgiving is a part of other things besides just asking God for things. The first thing I want you to notice from Psalm 69, verse 30, it's actually part of praise and worship. Thanksgiving is part of praise and worship. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him, say it with me, with thanksgiving. So the worship service, the worship expression to God, is also with thanksgiving. And if you catch the rest of the text, the context of that statement, look at it in verse 29. The psalmist says, "But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high." And in the midst of his pain, what does he do? He worships. Very important. He expressed how he felt, and then he said his praise. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him, what? With thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox. What does that mean? Better than an ox? Does that mean oxes give praise? No. He's talking about a sacrifice. And it will please the Lord better than a sacrifice that I would offer, an animal sacrifice, because they did that in those days. What will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs? That I would praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. So it pleases the Lord when we are giving thanksgiving. The humble will see it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. So thanksgiving is right at the heart of worship, praise and worship. Okay, here's another usage. Psalm 95, verse 2. Thanksgiving is the primary purpose in coming when we come into the presence of God. Why do we come into the presence of God? Look at what he says in Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In other words, let's go into the presence of God. How do we come into the presence of God? We come in not just like in curiosity, let's see what it looks like around here. That's not what this is about. We come before God with our thanksgiving. We come to give him thanks. So thanksgiving, according to Scripture, is the primary purpose in coming into the presence of God. And is this not what is going to happen? Think about it. What's going to happen when we finally get in the presence of God in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? What are we going to do when I finally stand before the Lord? I think probably the primary thing we're going to do is express our thanks, right? I mean, what else would we do? Now, that's part of worship. We would give him praise. We would give him worship. But the most logical thing for people that were redeemed from their sin, they're not in hell right now. They're in heaven. They have been delivered from all their judgment and condemnation, and now they stand before God, glorified in the presence of his majesty. And what's going to come out? Thanksgiving. And that would be a very biblical thing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I think it's the first things we're going to say. Obviously this man is not God, but there are certain people in my life that have meant a lot to me, even though I'd never met them. So I always thought, what would I say to certain people if I could have an audience with them who had ministered to me over the years? And I don't mean this to be name-dropping, but some of them were people like John MacArthur, who I just really enjoyed his teaching. He really helped me understand expository preaching. And when I was younger, I just listened to him every day on the radio, And I always thought, man, I would love to meet John MacArthur, you know. And you know, what would I say to him? I would thank him, right? Well, I got that chance. I went to a conference, and my brother set up a time for us to have lunch with him, and we sat down and talked. And, of course, what did I say? I said, you know, everybody called him John. I just said, John, your ministry has made such a difference in my life. I just want to thank you for that. And, of course, he was very gracious. Another guy was James Dobson. Because when I was a kid, my dad, we had a set of tapes called Preparing for Adolescence. And it was Dr. Dobson just talking to, like as if you were in the room with him. And he was talking about peer pressure and all the different things that are changing in your body and how to handle all that stuff. And you know, you could hear the birds singing in the background. And we would go to this, to Frost Park over in Dania, on a Sunday afternoon in the back of our Chevy van, and we would all just sit there and we would listen to Dr. Dobson. And we would laugh and we would, you know, it was, and I always thought those talks next to my parents were some of the most powerful preparations for the peer pressure I was going to be facing in public school, and I didn't even realize how much it would help me until later. And I always thought, if I ever get to talk to James Dobson, I'm going to tell him about that. Well, I got that chance. I went to a pastor's conference in Colorado at Focus on the Family, and there was this lull, and Dr. Dobson had walked in the room early, and he was just standing there. I thought, I'm going to go talk to him. It's James Dobson, you know, Dr. Dobson. So I went up, and I was nervous a little bit, and I said, Dr. Dobson, I want to tell you something about my childhood. He was very attentive, and I told him the whole story. You know, I said, so without even realizing it, you affected so much of where I am at today just by those talks and you making that available. And he just said, Mark, he said, that was worth the walk over here to hear that. Thank you. The first thing I wanted to say to these two men was thank you. You know, we talk a lot about the grace of God and how it allows us to be in the presence of God. But when we get there, when we finally get there, what do we do now? I think we're going to thank him. So here's the connection to now. Why do we have to wait until we're there? Why wouldn't that? We have access to the throne of God now. We have prayer. We have communication. And I think that's why the apostles and the prophets all were saying, you come with thanksgiving. Here's one that combines both the entrance into God's presence and praise and worship. Psalm 100, verse 4, you're probably very familiar with it. Enter his gates, what? With thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. So there they are, both of them. You enter in with what? A thankful expression. And you come with your praise and your worship, telling him how wonderful and how great and awesome he is. Give thanks to him. There it is again. Bless his name. So we thank the Lord. I got time for another one. Psalm 147, verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Another thing we learn of the phrase, with thanksgiving. What do we do with thanksgiving? We sing. Singing with thanksgiving. Say it again. Psalm 147, 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre and other instruments and things like that. But we come with our singing. So our singing should be filled with thanksgiving. And I'm glad that it is here at our church, and the songs that we have chosen to use and even written, some that have been written here right here in our church, help us thank God through the expression of music and singing. And I think it's so valuable for us to have a song in our heart that is thanking God in its very nature. So here's one last one from the New Testament where it doesn't say with thanksgiving, but it says with gratitude, which is the same thing. And I've labeled this one that discipleship is marked with thanksgiving. Discipleship is marked with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7. By the way, a little sneak preview. We're going to begin studying the book of Colossians this Sunday. We're going to go verse by verse through the whole book. And just a little teaser, one of the key main themes of the whole book is these two verses. Here's what it says. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk. You live your life. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, so that's your discipleship, that's your growing in Christ, established in your faith, not just kind of flimsy platitudes of religion. You're established in your faith. You're strong. Just as you were instructed, there's the discipleship as well. You have to learn these things. You don't just know them. And what else were you? Say it with me. Overflowing with gratitude. You're not just learning information. You're not just learning the ropes of the faith. You're not just learning about salvation. You are in your discipleship as you grow, and part of growth is that you are overflowing with gratitude. So we should be overflowing with gratitude as we grow in our faith. In fact, if we're not overflowing with gratitude, according to this verse, then we're not established, we're not rooted, we don't understand these things enough. If they're not calling out of us an overflow of gratitude to God, then we're missing something. And so I hope that in the next few weeks and months, that as we study this great book, that one of the things that will come out of it is every time you learn a new thought about who Jesus is, you learn a new thought about what grace is, you learn a new thought about how Jesus is everything and he is enough. Every time we learn something new, it'll call out of us not just information, but it'll call out of us thankfulness that it's that way and that it is and he is who he is, and we get to relate on this level and we get to enjoy all these wonderful truths. They're not just for our knowledge, they're for to call out of us gratitude. I look back at my time in engineering school. I don't ever remember going up to, and I probably should have, but I don't ever remember going up to a math professor and saying, thank you so much. Thank you for math. Now, maybe if I had been more mature, I would have done that, and thanked the guy for spending his whole life learning something to give it to me to help me in my career. I'm just saying that sometimes knowledge doesn't necessarily call out of us gratitude. It should, but certainly spiritual knowledge of who Jesus is and our relationship with him should call out of us gratitude and not puff us up. With just, okay, I know this now. I'm a theologian. No, I'm overflowing with gratitude. So these are just some things that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking about the year and what Zach was presenting to you and how grateful I am that, things have turned out the way they have. We want to keep going. Folks, there's so much we want to do. We want to advance forward. We do someday want to expand this place. We want to have a greater outreach. We want to do more and more and more, and that will, some of that's tied to money. We want to support more missionaries. We want to do more. So as we are gratefully giving generously, I think that will happen. But I'm very grateful for what was a tough year, and thankfully, things ended the way they did. And we're looking forward to a great year this year. So. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on as we move towards Sunday and approving our budget, our financial plan, and then as we be good stewards of the money that God has given us throughout all of 2021. Father, I want to thank you for this time together. Thank you for the interest of your people in your church and its inner workings. Lord, you have chosen by your sovereign will to tie our work to our paychecks. You have chosen to use the act of giving of our resources to fund the work. This was true in the Bible. This is true now. And I pray, Lord, that we would be obedient and hilarious givers, joyful, hilarious giving, where we are excited about what we get to give. And then, Lord, help us to use it properly and wisely and to put it in the places where it should go. We thank you that Gary and Sharon are here with us tonight, representatives really of some here in this room who give directly to their work and the small amount that we give here at our church. We ask for your blessing on them as they go to Georgia and that they would have a fruitful ministry up there, getting to know other churches and spreading the word about the work that they're going to be doing in across the world. We pray for your provision for them. Since we're talking about finances, I just want to ask you to provide everything they need, everything. And I do pray, Lord, that if it would come through our board, that you would give them the wisdom to accept them and receive them. And thank you for the work that's gone into getting them to this point. I pray for your blessing on their health, and that some of the things they're trying to get resolved would get resolved quickly, so that they can be unhindered to do what you've called them to do in a faraway place. Now, Lord, bless us as we go into Sunday. We continue to pray for your unity in our church. We pray for your blessing. Thank you for the fact that we get to observe baptism this week. And I pray for those that are also getting ready to be baptized and to follow you. I pray that you would bless everyone who is seeking to follow you with their lives. We look forward to that time. And we pray this all in the strong name of Jesus, thanking you for your great provision in our life, thanking you for saving us, thanking you, Lord, for giving us a life worth living and living above the fray of this confused world, Lord, and thank you for the resources you've given us to live our lives and to fund your kingdom. We give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.